This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. On April 20th, 2010, a wellhead a mile below the surface of the Gulf of Mexico exploded, killing 11 workers aboard the Deepwater Horizon oil platform. In the leak that ensued, more than 200 million gallons of oil spilled out. On the Gulf surface, the oil covered up to 68,000 square miles, an area roughly equal to the size of Florida. But the spill, which went on for 87 days until the leak was finally capped, ended up stretching across four dimensions. Not just from the Gulf Coast to the depths beneath the platform about 100 miles from Florida's panhandle, but across time as well. So on the fifth anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon explosion, researchers from the University of South Florida College of Marine Science and the Florida Institute of Oceanography gathered to discuss their past, current, and future work related to the disaster. David Hollander became one of the most recognizable faces of USF's efforts. The professor of chemical oceanography was one of the first researchers to find evidence of oil deep on the ocean's floor.
There's still significant oil in the bottom. It's repeatedly soiling the coastline when storms come up, so it's apparently located also adjacent to the beaches. There's still oil in the marshes.
Some scientists, as well as oil well operator BP, recently claimed that just because wildlife and plants haven't died in huge numbers, the lingering effects of the spill aren't as bad or widespread as feared. Hollander disagrees, pointing to studies published earlier this year that at least 3% of the oil could still be on the ocean floor.
The overwhelming number of samples that were collected both in the water and in the sediments were not at lethal concentration, but actually sub-lethal concentrations. The map of the sediments reflected 1,200 square miles, which were actually quite severely impacted, not just a 3-kilometer ring around the wellhead.
To break it down further, Hollander puts it this way. Lethal concentrations are like opening a can of paint and deeply inhaling the fumes. Sublethal concentrations are like painting an entire room, closing all the doors and windows, and then falling asleep. Either way, you're going to be sick. It's just a matter of how bad and for how long.
The concentrations that you were breathing were substantially lower, but the impacts, albeit protracted, can be identical or even more expressed in organisms. If they don't die, they're still alive. Their behavior could be changed. Their reproduction could be changed. Their growth could be changed.
As part of the investigation of the spill's ongoing effects, the researchers have been collecting samples of multiple species of Gulf wildlife, such as red snapper and golden tilefish, and looking at their liver and bile to determine how they're processing the oil still present in the environment.
The fish are still eating contaminated food sources, albeit at lower concentrations, and are slowly getting back to what would be considered the baseline condition.
That baseline data showing pollution levels in Gulf water, sediment, and wildlife could help determine further effects of the BP spill, as well as any future spills. In addition to collecting that information, USF researchers will soon join a group of international scientists later this summer in work involving a similar disaster that took place over 700 miles from the Horizon site almost 40 years ago. The group will travel to the site of the Ixtoc 1 oil well in the Gulf, about 60 miles northwest of Campeche, Mexico. In 1979, that well suffered a blowout like the Deepwater Horizon, causing a similar major oil spill. USF Marine Science Professor Stephen Murawski says the lessons they learn at that site can help paint a picture of the possible future for the area near the horizon.
By doing these comparative studies, we can actually forecast into the future what the deep waters around Deepwater Horizon will look like 35 years from now in terms of the toxicity and impact on the environment.
And since USF is also an institute of learning, some of this research has been done and will continue to be done by College of Marine Science students like Christina Deke, a first-year Ph.D. candidate studying biological oceanography. Looking at the DNA of Gulf fish, Deke was able to see how the spill affected their immune systems. Speaking on the deck of the USF research vessel Weatherbird 2, she said she's now developing an assay to measure in real time how their genes are changing.
It's incredible. I mean, we're able to actually work on a real-life problem and develop new tools that'll help us in the future. So we're actually at the forefront of this new field, which is a great opportunity for people just starting out in science. This is something that's going to shape all of our careers.
To see pictures of the USF College of Marine Science at work in the Gulf, visit our webpage, wusfnews.org. For University Beats, I'm Mark Schreiner.